Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Pod save the king!
Hello and welcome back to Pod Save the King. It's been a dramatic royal week and I'm your host Anne Gripper. I'm here to talk about it with Jennifer Newton making her first appearance on the show this year, fresh from busy writing lots for the Mirror website all about the busy royal goings on. Jen, lovely to see you.
Great to be back, thank you.
There's been a lot going on this week. There's a new king and queen in Denmark. There's a royal book and we're all thinking, oh, January is clearly royal book mayhem. Flashbacks to Spare last year, and then dramatic news yesterday afternoon, totally unexpected. First that Kate had been admitted to hospital for what sounded like pretty major surgery, given that she's going to be out of action until Easter, and then hot on the heels of that, the King is going into hospital for treatment. So the first thing to say, obviously, is that we wish Charles and Kate a very speedy recovery and a quick return to good health and full fighting fitness. But Jen, talk us through yesterday.
Yeah, so it was around yesterday afternoon, so yesterday being Wednesday, around 2 p.m. There was a statement put out by Kensington Palace. It definitely appeared to just come out of the blue about Kate, how she was going to be in hospital. Well, she was in hospital. She'd had this abdominal surgery. Yeah, definitely came out of the blue because I personally was just expecting she was going to be starting up her engagements again for the new year in the next few days. So I think it was a bit of a shock to most people to get this announcement. And it was, like you say, a bit concerning as well, especially given that how long she might be in hospital for, up to 2 weeks, and she's not going to be resuming duties again until after Easter. Obviously, Easter this year's slightly earlier, being at the end of March, but even still, it's a long time to be out for. So yeah, hopefully she can have a good recovery, recover quick, and be back with us out and about again. But obviously she wouldn't want to rush back, so I can understand why there's maybe, it seems like a long time that she might be spending recovering. But yeah, it was definitely a bit of a shock yesterday to hear that about Kate.
There's so many ways that, you know, surgery has evolved that, you know, quite often people are in and out for things, as hopefully the King will be next week with his prostate issue. So to hear that she's staying in for 10 to 14 days, even though, I mean, I'm sure the London Clinic is a lovely place to be looked after as you are recovering, and you can take that bit of extra time in there, particularly if you are royal with the plenty of cash to pay for that care and make sure you're ready to go back, particularly when you've got three children who, well, I'm sure they'll understand that mummy is poorly and can't go out on the trampoline with them first thing in the morning. At the same time, they'll be wanting to give her all the cuddles and make her feel better, which, you know, that would probably, if you've just had major surgery on your tummy, you're gonna have to be a little ginger about things for some time. I mean, the statement, I mean, Kate was classically wishes to apologize to all those concerned for the fact that she has had to postpone her upcoming engagements, and she looks forward to reinstating as many as possible as soon as possible. I mean, the statement said that the surgery was planned, but like you said, when we've had the engagements were still in place and we were expecting some international travel coming up, and I think they sort of started talking about that a bit last week, so we just don't know how recently it was planned or whether it was, you know, the opportunity came up to deal with this now. So it's all, you know, it's all a bit of a mystery, but also obviously it's a health situation, and she particularly, you know, asked for privacy and understanding, and we'll respect that completely. But, you know, like you say, it's natural for people to worry because it's not normal for someone in their, you know, in their early 40s to, it may be planned, but it is unusual to have that amount of time needing sort of medical care, really.
Yeah, definitely. And it was only just over 3 weeks ago that she made her last public appearance when we saw her walk to church at Sandringham on Christmas Day. And I don't think anyone could have looked at those pictures or video from at the time and said she looked unwell or, you know, this was going to happen. So again, it just goes to show that maybe it was something that's come up in the recent few weeks and it just needs to be dealt with.
I mean, reassuringly, the one sort of extra detail that has come out is that it is non-cancerous, so we can be glad of that. And whatever it is, we hope that she's getting the best possible care and will be back on her feet as soon as she feels able to, but not too quickly. But William's cleared the diary as well to look after her, support her, and to support with the children.
Yeah, so he's not going to have any engagements for the next few weeks. So that's for the time that Kate's in hospital and for the, you know, immediate period when she's back and recovering at Adelaide Cottage in Windsor. And then it has been said that his engagement's going to be curtailed as well as she continues her recovery so that he can be there for the children. Because obviously it's going to be quite a difficult time for him. Because he's got, you know, his wife in hospital. He's got to make sure that his children are looked after. And then obviously next week he's going to have his dad in hospital as well. So pretty tough time for William as well as Kate.
I'm sure there'll be other dads who have been in a similar situation where their wife has been poorly and they've had the kids to look after, and yeah, I've not got the nanny and the chefs and all of the sort of the household stuff. Plus there's the army of Middleton family nearby to help. I'm
Yeah.
sure they'll all be pitching in as well. So it's great
Yeah,
that
definitely.
he's got that support, and we can we will have to get on with what we've got, and they're lucky that they've got a bit more to help them through a slightly tricky time. Everybody was still in a flurry about Kate, naturally, and then the news came from Charles as well.
Yeah, like literally just over an hour later, the announcement from Buckingham Palace that he'll be going into hospital next week for a procedure to correct an enlarged prostate. And he's actually won quite a lot of praise for speaking out about this because it's a very common problem among men. And the palace said that he wanted to make, you know, the condition known to raise awareness. So if other men might be experiencing symptoms of this, it might encourage them to go to their doctor and, you know, seek medical advice for that. So yeah, I think it's quite a unusual thing that he's spoken out about it, but I think it's a good thing that he has spoken out about it. So yeah, he'll be in hospital next week. It hasn't been confirmed where the procedure will be taking place because he's in Scotland at the minute, staying at Birk Hall near Balmoral. So we don't know if that'll be in Scotland or if he come back to London. It's going to mean that, and he's going to take a short period out to recuperate as well. So it's going to mean that for, you know, the next few weeks, we're not going to really see him. We're not going to see William. We're not going to see Kate. So the slimmed down monarchy's got a lot slimmer.
Yeah, definitely. But a little bit of public service broadcasting, firstly. So, for those of you who either need to be concerned about your own prostate health or the prostate health of your loved ones, the most common sign is a change in how you pee. Symptoms can include a weak flow, a feeling your bladder has not emptied properly, difficulty starting or stopping, and needing to go more often. So, yeah, like you say, he has been praised for speaking about getting that treatment, and it's certainly very common, more common with age. It affects four in five men in age 75. So it's certainly a relatively frequent occurrence for men of his vintage. And it sounds like it's all been, again, while it's going to be a planned procedure next week, this one has come around quite quickly, got checked earlier in the week, got the diagnosis, and now he's got a date booked in to get it sorted out. But yeah, like you say, because there were plans for foreign dignitaries and various people travelling, then they had to get the news out as quickly as possible, even though they wouldn't really have wanted to have these two royal health major headlines.
Yeah.
I mean, they wouldn't obviously wanted to have them at all, but certainly not together at the same time, and it because it does, I don't know, it makes everyone a bit more, not jittery, but feel the sort of instability and what's going on. And particularly, I guess things haven't really restarted very much since the new year at all. I mean, we've had Princess Anne traveling to Sri Lanka, and Sophie's had a couple of engagements, but everything's been fairly minimal as people sort of completing their Christmas breaks. I mean, now possibly it's because there were these other health concerns going on, and they were needing to get those resolved first of all. But like you say, the slimmed down monarchy, if you take three people out of it, and it's, I mean,
Yeah.
it's not even three people, it's three of the four major
Three
top
of the four big
players.
ones, yeah. I mean, today we do have a lot of royals out today. I think Camilla will be out later, and Edward, Sophie, but even I mean that's four, but that's pretty much the only other four that are the work are the core seven. Well, is it seven? Working royals who are the ones that are doing the engagements. There's nobody else really. I mean, yeah, there are the Duke of Kent and the Duke and Duchess of Gloucester, but they're both even older than Charles and Camilla in their late 70s, so
And
you
it's
wouldn't
pretty cold
expect
and
them.
icy. We should keep them
It is
tucked up
freezing.
somewhere for the moment. It's not nice to be, older people. It's not a good time for them to be out and about just now. No.
Yeah, exactly. And I think with Kate, especially Kate not being back until at least until after Easter, that it's probably going to be for the royal family. They are going to miss her because, let's face it, she's the one that gets the most headlines, most front pages. And if she's not out and about, how are they going to still get the press coverage of what they want to put out there? And, as much as, Charles, Camilla, Sophie, and Edward will still be carrying on, they don't seem to have the same glamour and reach as maybe Kate does. I don't know.
And some of her sort of favourite engagements probably are this time of year as well. Like we've seen her at the BAFTAs in the past, and Six Nations cheering on the England rugby team in her new role there, and questions about whether William will make it to the Wales games now. Because obviously, looking after your family is the most important thing, and that is something that they have essentially both declared versus their work in the past, and now obviously it's even more so. Well, there's the sort of the recovery and recuperation. I would imagine Kate will probably be doing some, reading around her big passion projects and being able to do some work behind closed doors, lightweight work behind closed doors, because I would imagine otherwise she'll get bored. But have you got a box set tip for her at the moment? What would be if you were out of action until after Easter, what is the box set that you would finally watch?
Oh, that's quite a good question. If she hasn't watched Line of Duty, that's quite good, although I know I'm a bit late to the party on that one. Everyone in the office is talking about the BBC programme, The Traitors. I haven't watched it yet, so maybe that's something she can catch up on. I don't know if that's one you've
Oh, yeah.
watched or
Could be intriguing. Well, I think I'd be finally unwrapping the DVD, I mean, very retro DVD box set of The Sopranos, which has been sitting up
Oh, yeah.
on my shelf for a very, very long time, because you've just got to really commit to that. And because it is, I've seen some of it over the years, but I've never seen the full lot. Or she could engage in the Camilla's Reading Room and podcast, join the book club for a bit, try and get
Yeah,
some.
exactly. Yep.
I did listen to the podcast this week, which was Joanna Lumley, who is, very breathless in her enjoyment of reading, and sort of a slightly less exciting Camilla-related clip this week, having had the enjoyment of imagining King Charles doing his Gruffalo voices and whatnot last week. This week it was just like she's a Wuthering Heights woman. Well, Emily Bronte is her favourite of the Bronte sisters. So that was the biggest bombshell on the podcast this week.
Bombshell, yeah.
Which in the week of royal bombshells, I don't think really counts. Doesn't get anywhere close, because
No, unfortunately not.
earlier in the week, obviously we had the release and the serialisation of Robert Hardman's new book, King Charles III and the New Court, and details about the day the Queen died, returning to the conversation about, you know, the naming of Lilibet and what degree of permission or support there was or wasn't for it. And then also, I guess, some in-depth looks at Camilla and at William. I was quite surprised actually, so it felt like there's been less of an in-depth look at Kate through it, which is interesting so far, but I'm sure. So what have you, what have been the big standout items for you from the from that
I
book?
think the main talking point from this book, the thing that's really got people talking, was what you mentioned before, the little bit. Did Harry and Meghan have the permission that they thought they had to be able to give their daughter that name? So the main talking point from the book is they have an aide to the late Queen who said they had it was as angry as they'd ever seen her when the Sussexes put out the statement to say that they had asked for permission to use the Queen, late Queen's nickname, and this it, the book kind of says it's maybe another case of recollections may vary. It's quite funny, isn't it? Because this happened. I mean, Lilibet will be coming up to 3 this year, so it's happened 3 years ago. It's something that's come back up to the news agenda. I think people are quite interested in it, but it is a bit. I don't know. It is at the heart of the story. It is a young child at it. Do you know what I mean? Like it's a young child, and she's been given this name, and I don't know. I feel of everyone in the story, I feel the more sorry for her.
Yeah, I think I don't know, reading it, that was a bit the lines about whether it's, you know, is it specifically about the naming of the child, or is it more about how Meghan and Harry presented and really doubled down and went to lawyers about the
Yes,
naming of that
exactly.
child, and that it was all, you know, fine, and the degree of support, as opposed to I think there was one of that sort of insider bits of, yes, there may have been a conversation, but the sense I got from reading about it, the Queen almost felt like it was a done deal. And how do you actually say no to them, particularly when everything is so difficult? And is it something that is worth having a row about ultimately when there's enough other rows going on? So, but the how it then evolved in public was not the Queen's style, I guess. That's probably part of it as well.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, a lot of people that I've talked to about this as well have said, you know, the bit about the Queen being as angry as they'd ever seen her. And there was a later report saying that she'd said something along the lines of, you know, I don't own the palaces, I don't own the paintings in the palaces, but Lilibet was the only thing I own, like my nickname. It's difficult to imagine the Queen saying something like that, given that she was known for being so discreet and having this, you know, never complain, never explain attitude.
Well, certainly in public, so maybe, you know,
Yeah, certainly in public. Yeah.
we don't really know the Queen behind closed doors, because she was so neutral, slightly the wrong word, I guess, professional and
Yeah.
measured in public. I mean, certainly the reading all the details about the day the Queen died, and sort of the memo about her having slipped away peacefully in her sleep, which, you know, ultimately is what all of us would probably wish for as a way to go out in the end. But the way, sort of the moving parts of the family, and that actually happened quite a little bit quicker than they were all expecting, and, you know, Charles driving back across the estate to try and get there, and ultimately taking the phone call in the car, and
Yeah.
the first time you get referred to as Your Majesty, and then how, and this is where I guess the weirdness of the royal family is, when he's ringing up through the switchboard but can't really say, he can't use his new name because he needs to speak to other people first
First,
rather than
yeah.
saying, hello, it's the King here. And well, probably also it would have felt very weird to do that just, you know, minutes after his mother had passed away. So I did like the idea of her, just him phoning up and saying, hello, it's me. And also the Princess Anne, somebody, you know, somebody feeling like this was the right time, that actually I need to give Princess Anne a hug, and then her being like, that's just the last time that's ever happened. But which is quite a sense of, you can just totally imagine that with Princess Anne, but the level of upset, or I guess the guard coming down in that very human moment for something where, you know, there is a formality throughout that household for somebody who is a civilian, if you like, a commoner, not that common, but, you know, feeling like actually I'm just going to give this woman a hug because that is the human thing to do, and never mind all the rest of it. So how big a deal?
Yeah, on the bit, because it goes into, I'd say, like quite a lot of detail about what happened in the Queen's last moments and then Charles' first moments as king. And I thought it was quite interesting the bit they said that after the Queen died, her private secretary took away the red box that she'd been working, like with the papers in that she'd been working on. And she'd left two private letters in the final red box, one for Charles and one for her private secretary. And it said she sensed it was her time. And I mean, we'll never probably know what was in those letters, but I just thought that was quite interesting. And how she, the book kind of suggests it's how she kept her duty right until her final days. You know, she still had those red boxes coming, and they describe it as she completed her final bit of homework, which I thought was quite a nice way to describe it, that she kept up with it even until the end.
Yeah, absolutely. I also enjoyed the discussion. So Camilla's nickname, less contentious in some ways than Lilibet's, although probably back in the day it might have been reasonably contentious when they were calling her Lorraine, as in La Reine, the Queen in French, her sort of family, her family name. And little details about apparently they were all banned from having their phones in the carriages on the way to the coronation, but those robes are pretty good for smuggling things in, clearly, I think.
Yeah.
All taking some pictures. And I should shout out at this point, actually, to mirror photographer Andy Stenning, who has been nominated for Photographer of the Year at the Press Awards for a fantastic picture he took of Kate on Coronation Day. Was one of his three pictures that he submitted for his portfolio. So do check him out on Instagram. I'll repost that picture as well, because it is an absolute cracker. And Charles and Camilla being in a battle over the thermostat and the windows open or not, and that Charles likes to keep the palace chillier than the Queen did, whereas Camilla keeps her office as an absolute sauna. So interesting, the two of them having different attitudes, but probably a big enough house that they can have both of those things applied in different
ways. Yeah, they can just go off to separate wings, and one can be sitting in the cold, one can be sitting in the warm.
A bit of detail as well about how there'd been discussions around possible regency and how that might work, and Charles's sort of unwillingness in a lot of ways to engage with it, really.
Yeah, there was quite a lot in the book about that, about how there were plans for what would happen if the late Queen became so incapacitated that she wouldn't be able to carry out her duties of state. Charles apparently didn't like to talk about that sort of thing, because I suppose he might have seen it as tempting fate almost. But then at the same time, we know the one thing that the royal family don't do is leave things to chance. So I suppose there had to be some kind of discussion on what would happen in that scenario, because, you know, the way that the royals work is that they have to plan every possible scenario and not leave anything to chance. So I can well imagine that. Yeah.
I guess we've sort of seen a different approach to it in Denmark over the last few weeks, which culminated last Saturday with Queen Margrethe handing over her throne, her crown, although they don't get to wear the crown in Denmark. It doesn't work quite like that. Very different day of accession compared to all of that, you know, mayhem that we had last May.
Yeah, so definitely it wasn't on the same scale as the coronation that we had with King Charles and Camilla, but I thought it did still look quite good in Denmark. Obviously, the people flocked out onto the streets of Copenhagen to try and get a glimpse of the new. So it's King Frederick X and Queen Mary. And I thought it was a lot different to our coronation, obviously not just because of the whole crown and in the you know, having it in a church and that sort of thing. But it was a bit, the imagery was so different, because you had Queen Margrethe sitting there signing her abdication, I suppose, papers. And then she kind of like got out of her chair and walked out of the room, just as like Frederick sat down to sign his, what I assume were accession papers. So it was kind of a contrast of like the Queen walking through the door as the new King sat down. It was something that we just didn't see when we had, say, the accession council a few years ago when the late Queen died, because it was a very different mood because the Queen had actually died and it was a somber occasion, whereas in Denmark she was still here and kind of passing on the responsibility to her youngest, well, her son, yeah.
But the interesting that she wasn't, I don't know, there was no place for her to sort of stay and support him.
That's true.
Really. It was just like, yeah. clear the decks. Yeah. Long live the new king, and she headed off. She, was in a carriage, headed off in a car, and they, you know, swapped over levels of pomp and guarding in the signing of the papers. And we saw them out on the balcony, which I think is something that we can all kind of relate to. And it was the prime minister who was doing the kind of the hurrahs going on, and it just it did make me think of Borgen. That's another good box set that Kate could look up if she wanted to buff up on Denmark, if, because, you know, obviously there'd been chat about would William and Kate potentially go to Denmark, would the Danish king and queen come here. Obviously that's plenty of time for that, could still happen. And Queen Mary, she looked very fabulous in her white dress, and we got a little balcony kiss as well, which we didn't get quite so much in London last summer.
No, you can't imagine Charles and Camilla having a smooch on the Buckingham Palace balcony after the coronation. But it kind of felt a little bit wedding-like, if you know what I mean, the way they had that kiss, because obviously Mary was in that beautiful white outfit as well. But yeah, it was quite nice to see them, and all they got all four of their children on the balcony as well. And it kind of made me think, is this, although I do think we here in the UK would still do more of the, you know, pomp and ceremony and that sort of thing, but there has been a lot of talk how, and it's actually in Robert Hardman's book, how William, when he becomes king, his coronation might be smaller again and not last as long. As so maybe when it is William's time, would it be more in tune with what happened in Denmark rather than what happened maybe when it was the late Queen or King Charles? I don't know, it'd be interesting to see.
Although I think one of the messages that came through very strongly around Robert Hardman thing, you know, Charles isn't in it just to be the interim thing. He's got a lot of stuff that he wants to get done and drive change and be busy and get on with things. So I would imagine he will be somewhat frustrated on his own behalf that his, you know, he's got to take a little pause over that, even if it's a short, relatively short one over the next week or 10 days or what have you. And also, you know, clearly I would imagine he'll be worried on behalf of his son and daughter-in-law and wanting to make sure they get through things well, as do we all. So an unexpected week in many ways in Royal Land. But I mean, I think it's fair to say they mainly are, given over the last 6 years. You never quite know what's coming around the corner. The most important thing we should say is get well soon, Charles and Kate. Kate, I mean, there's a massive 6 year backlog of Pod Save the King and previously Queen podcasts. If you do want to listen to them, catch up with the royal news and relive the departure of Meghan and Harry and such like. No, maybe not. Jen, it's been lovely to see you today. Thank you for joining us. And we look forward to catching up again very soon. I'll be back again next week. Hopefully Russell will be back with us then as well. And we'll be able to update on what is going on. We're obviously hopeful that William might pop in and visit Kate before too long. There's various police around outside the London clinics. They look like they might be expecting some visitors at some stage, and I'm sure that would be a boost to spirits. As wonderful as video calls are, there's no substitute for actually seeing people in person. So right, listeners, thank you for joining us this week, and we look forward to catching up with you again very soon. But until next time,
Pod Save the King.